Okay, there are many biblical characters in the Bible as well. Not many people are as well known as a Samson. Isn't that true? Somehow, since our childhood Sunday school, we had that idea. Samson was this big, burly guy, man's man, bulging muscles on his arms and legs and chest. But Bible does not say anything about that. Do you know that? He could look like a Pee Wee Herman. But he's just strong because the Holy Spirit come up on him and he can punch the guy's daylight out of him. I'm sure that the Pentagon would love to have soldiers like that, duplicate them. Do you know any, okay, except Rambo in the movie, no soldiers can kill enemy soldier, 1,000 enemy soldier with an improvised weapon, jawbone of donkey. That's not even possible. Only reason why it was possible is because, why? Holy Spirit was upon him. However, even though when he was in fighting mode, he was a great fighter and a soldier, but he was unpredictable and undependable because he was double-minded. Anyone who is double-minded are unpredictable, not dependable. Bold before men, yet Samson was weak before women. He couldn't resist telling his secret like a little child. We had our grandkids last Sunday here. They are coming back this Sunday. And Elias, 6 years old, starting to tell whoever. And I was wondering, what's going to come out from his mouth? You never know what they're going to say, right? Samson was like that. He could not keep his mouth shut. He had to tell all the secret. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, but he yielded his body to the appetite of fleshly desires. And called to declare the war on the Philistine, however, he hung around with the enemy and even tried to marry a Philistine woman. He fought the Lord's battle by day and disobeyed the Lord's command by night. And he was given a name, Samson, which means sunny. But he ended up in the darkness, and he was blinded by the very enemies he was supposed to conquer. Instead of being the God's mighty he-man, he was nothing more than a weak she-woman. Four chapters of this particular book, the book of Judges, was devoted to the history of Samson. First two chapters, chapter 13 and chapter 14, introduce Sonny and his parents. And we see the light flickering as Samson play with the sins. Chapter 15 and chapter 16, we are going to study next week. And the light goes out and Samson dies as a martyr under the ruins of the pagan temple. And sad end for such a promising life. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. With your word opened up on our lap and our heart open toward the Holy Spirit. Father, speak to us so that we may not be undependable like Samson or unpredictable like Samson. Though he was a mighty warrior during the daytime, he was a weak-minded person at night. Help us be consistent warrior for your name. Let us do everything right in your sight because we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint our heart, anoint the one who speak, that he may only speak your word. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 13, we have a lot of verses to cover. Verse 1, again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So what else is new, right? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Philistines for 40 years. Did you notice it's getting longer and longer, right? The occupation by the foreign kingdom is getting longer. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of Danite, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord, who would that be? The angel of the Lord. Christophany, yes, Jesus' appearance, human appearance in the Old Testament time. Appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall reign to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistine. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance like a countenance of an angel, the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, and nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be Nazarite, note that word, Nazarite, to God from the womb to the day of his death. And skip down to the verse 15, please. Because in between is pretty much repeated. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you. We will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? When your word came to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is what? Okay, if you remember from the book of Isaiah, there's a list of names. He is a wonderful counselor. It's not a wonderful counselor. There is a comma in between. In other words, his name is wonderful. Here it is. Verse 19, so the Manoah then took the young goat and the grain offering, offered it up to the upon the rock to the Lord. And he did wondrous things while the Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward the heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to the Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Here's a wise wife telling him, setting him straight. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hand, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such a thing as this at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneh, then between the Zorah and Eshtol. All right, give me your interpretation, please. You guys all studied, right? That's why you are so eager to come here to talk about the interpretation. Who has the interpretation for me? Yes, Mr. Bob, you are looking at me with that face. Huh? You don't have one. Okay. Gene?
I mean, I can tell you.
Just remember, no observation. In your own thought. Not Samson did, Samson did. That's the observation, interpretation. Okay. No problem. We'll do it next time. Speak up a little bit, brother. Good. The reason why I ask you to speak up because we are trying to record. So next time, yell. Okay, who else? We need to extend this microphone cord. Make it longer. Okay, who else? Okay, what does it mean to you? That's a good word, setting them aside. That's a good word. Are you set aside for God? If you are born again, that means you were set aside by God. And what purpose? I don't know. If you don't know, make yourself known to Him that you don't know, and He will guide you. Good. Okay. Let me ask you this. Did Samson have a great beginning?
Yes?
Yes? How can it be better than this? He was ordained from the beginning. And it declared by God, Jesus Himself. I mean, you cannot top that. Who else had that kind of announcement? In the entire Bible, only three people. John the Baptist, Jesus, and Samson. You cannot beat that kind of announcement. Forget the baby shower thing. Good? Okay, I said this before, probably I will say it again. Good beginning does not guarantee the good ending. Right? Certainly, Samson had a great beginning, right? Did he have a good ending? No. Yeah, but what if he was obedient to God? Yeah, but what if Samson was obedient to God? Yes. That's what I'm saying. Good beginning does not guarantee good ending. Yes?
Would he have necessarily, if he didn't do what God wanted to do with the Philistines, I mean, maybe I'll wait until later gets the next chapter.
Keep that in back of your mind, because we're going to visit that portion.
Yeah,
exactly. Just because we have a blessing of God, that doesn't mean that it's going to continue. Because we do have a free will, do we not? Okay, keep that in back of your mind. Yes, hold on. Roger, you're going to take it back, okay? He's an Indian giver. All right, ma'am. Good one. All right. Like I said, a few baby come into the world in such a favorable circumstance as Samson and John the Baptist and Jesus, were the only two recorded in the Bible with that such an announcement. Yet, that solid and good start was no guarantee Samson would accomplish his mission without breaking his walk with God. In fact, several hurdles appeared along the way that tripped him up. Before we go any further, we must know who these Philistine people are. Let me ask you a question. Philistines, are the same people as the Palestine people now? They sound similar. Must be cousins, right? John, explain.
The Romans used as a time.
Derogatory remarking.
But they weren't really equal.
No. Okay, let me explain. Can I change the slide? Philistines were among the sea people who were in 12th century BC migrated from the area of Greece to the coastal plain of Canaan. The Jews were unable to occupy the territory during their conquest in the land. The national life focused around the five key cities of the Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. Do you know which they still have that name in the cities? Can I change the slide? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, here are the maps. Can you see? There was five cities. Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and Gath. Okay. The land between the Israel hill country and the coastal plain was called Shephelah, and which means the low country. And he separated Philistia from the Israel, and Samson was born in Zorah, the city in Dan, near the Philistine border, and he often cross the border, and neither either to serve God or to satisfy his fleshly appetite. I guess so he was illegal aliens going back and forth. Raja got it, didn't nobody else got it. Can I change the slide? Like John the Baptist, Samson would be Nazarite from his mother's womb. The word Nazarite comes from the Hebrew word that means to separate. Remember what the lady said, separate and consecrate? His life was separate and consecrated. Nazarite, by the way, what's your name, ma'am? Renee, okay. Nazarite was a person who, well, for a stated period of time, it doesn't have to be a lifetime, but in this case, for Samson, it's a lifetime. He was consecrated themselves to the Lord in a special way. They abstained from the drinking wine and the strong drink. They avoided touching dead bodies. Note that, please. And mark of their consecration, they allowed their hair to grow. The law governing Nazarite vow is given in the Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Please take a look at it. Please do not confuse a Nazarite with the city named Nazareth, or people from the Nazareth is known as Nazarenes. Who is a Nazarene? One. That's right. Was he born in Nazareth? Why is he called a Nazareth? Nazarene. Huh? Correct. He was, like Mikey and John said, he was raised and he was grown up there. Yes. Chapter 14, verse 1, please. Now, the Samson went down to the Timnah. Where is the Timnah? Way down south of the Israel. Saw a woman in Timnah and the daughters of the Philistines, so that he went up and told his father and mother, and saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah, the daughters of a Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. And then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking the occasion to move against the Philistines. For that time, the Philistine had the dominion over Israel. Okay, give me your interpretation, please. What do you see what the Samson is doing? No observation, just interpretation, please. Okay. Yes, hold on. Jin?
Several things, particularly. First thing is that, in my reading of this, he did not measure this woman's character at all. It's just looks, at least from what I'm gathering from it. Second thing, and just personally, I think this is why this is one of the stories for younger people, in that he really could have used some good advice from his mom.
Okay.
Seriously, about what he was doing, and he totally, completely just was. Which a lot of men are. I've been that way at times.
Okay.
That's it.
You said the three things. That's so far two things.
Yes. And the third was that even though what he was doing was absolutely wrong, God still used it.
Okay, let's make all of that to the gene. I know, I'm pushing it.
I certainly have had things in my life where, you know, in hindsight, I say, boy, I really, really wish I had not.
No, really?
Yeah. And also in hindsight, although I paid a price for it sometime for years, I also saw and experienced the hand of God doing something to me, for me, molding.
Good, good, good interpretation. All right, who else? Yes, John.
So God can use your sin for his glory.
So should we do more?
Not more, but God's will is God's will. And he knew he was going to go this way, so he used it for his purposes. So same with us, you know, we should be righteous with the Lord, but because there are, you know, in life, there are even people that will do things for the Lord's purpose, and you may not understand that. It goes into the reason of why bad things happen to good people sometimes. You don't really know the greater good, even though that person's, you never will know. So God's will always be.
Okay, good. Who else? Yes, Renee. Say it again from the beginning.
Compromising his faith in God and testing God, taking his authority, his blessing, and abusing it, defiling himself, enticed by the enemy.
Good. Okay. Okay, we have a Roger 1 and Roger 2 by the seniority, not age seniority, being here first. Okay, Roger 1, you were going to say something?
Where God has put it to be equally yoked with somebody. If you're a follower of God, walking with him, and then now you're going to go to turn to a pagan who does not have their own idea of what their religion is, there's no compromise in between. So you're not following God's way.
Good. Good one. Anyone else? Yes. Sorry, Kurt.
I think it was also just another example. He knew that Samson was going to screw up, just like we all have.
You mean God knows that kind of thing? Oh. Wow.
And yet, he showed that he would still do whatever he could with you to get you back where you needed to go.
Keep that in mind, what he just said. Keep that in mind. God will still use him to wherever he needs to go. Okay, good one. All right. What I see here is that we must guard our heart from all temptations and traps and with the word of God. And if he did that, if he knew that, I'm sure his mom and dad told him from the beginning, you were called by God, but he chosen chose to ignore. The first word out of his mouth that is recorded in the Bible is this. This phrase is, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Brilliant. He didn't care a thing about what God's will. Huh?
Sounds like a spoiled kid.
Yeah. Probably was. He only focused on the woman's physical appearance and on pleasing him well. Twice we read this account that Philistine woman pleased him well. He has no thought to her character, even her name. Her sexual apparel was the only thing that caught his eyes, like many people around the world now, many men around the world, or even women. The woman would say, he's so cute, isn't he? And somebody would say, would ask, but he's not a believer, is he? But he's so cute. Really. Tall, dark, and handsome. Satan is, and his cohort know this weakness of many men and women. They target men with a visually sexual appeals through the movies and advertisement, TV programs, and whatever they can to get their hands on. If you notice, it's pretty much soft porn, isn't it, nowadays? Knowing this kind of a scheme from the devil, we men must guard our heart with the word of God and do not put ourselves into the position of temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, please. Would you go there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Right before Titus. chapter 2, verse 22. This four words is very important. Flee also youthful lust. Okay, let me ask you this. Since many of us are older side, let me ask you this. Since we are in the older age group, does it mean that we no longer have a youthful lust? Yes, no. Another pastor friend of mine, Mark Martin, he's from Calvary Community Church in Phoenix, big church. He has a 90-year-old elder. So he asked, Mark asked this 90-year-old elder, when does this stop? He was referring to sexual temptation. And do you know what the 90-year-old elder said? It doesn't. It's not the physical thing that has a problem with. It's the mind. And I don't believe that it only applies to a man. It applies to women as well. So keep your mind. It's no wonder 2 Corinthians says, we take a captive of every thought and make it obedience to Christ Jesus. All right. Love at first sight. It sounds so romantic, isn't it? Especially ladies love this kind of thing. But it is a very dangerous thing. It's entirely possible for Christians to fall in love with someone that we have no business being in love with. And which was exactly the case with Samson here. Love at first sight may feel wonderful, but does not last forever. We can be attracted more to the feeling of love itself than person we focused upon, whom we really don't know at first sight. A couple weeks ago, we had three young people came by. In my conversation with them, I said to one guy, and make sure you don't, I found out that he's a single guy, so I said, make sure you don't date any unbelievers. And I quote this verse that we are going to quote, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together. And he said, well, there's many interpretations for that. I looked at him and said, no, there's none. And I guess he didn't like my interpretation, so he's not coming back. There's no other interpretation, folks. Do not be unequally yoked together means do not be unequally yoked together. That means do not date unbelievers. A Christian really have no business dating an unbeliever. Some people will say, well, it's a missionary dating. I'm trying to bring that person to Christ. So I asked, out of three guys, one guy is really big. I asked him, how heavy are you? He said, 210. And his wife is a little gal. Okay, I want you to stand up on the chair. I usually don't let the people stand on the chair in here, but he stood up. He was tall. And I told his wife, to him, now pull her up. He couldn't. She was not that heavy set. He 210, he could have yanked her up, right? No, he could not. And now I asked her to now yank him down. She did. I asked him, do you know what is on her advantage? Gravity. When you go out with unbelievers, there is there's a known fact. It's not a gravity, it's a fleshly desires will work against you. And the other guy couldn't answer. It's simply because to be a Christian means Christ, Jesus Christ, is the most important thing in one person's life. Please keep in mind that when a Christian and non-Christian get together, we have two people who disagree on the most important things in life. Christian woman, wife, or Christian husband start to attend the church. And the spouse said, do you really need to go to church every day? Why don't we go on whatever? To keep the peace, they go. Or say, okay, I'm going to skip just one time. Next time is easier and easier and easier. And you try to, you as a believer of Jesus Christ, you want to tithe. Your spouse will say, why? We need the money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That happened. I'm not making this up. It happens all the time. Verse 5, chapter 14. So Samson went down to the Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Where? Where did they get there? Come on, read that portion. Came to what? The vineyards of Timnah. What is one of the things that he's not supposed to? Okay. Maybe vineyard to make cookies, right? Now, to his surprise, young lion came roaring after against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his mother or father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Another thing that Nazarite is not supposed to do? Okay. Behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hand and went along eating. Look at this guy. He's walking, eating the honey in his hand. Talk about juvenile child. No kidding. When he came to the father and... Too bad that Karen, your wife, was not here. I would ask her to slap you upside the head. When he came to his father and mother, he gave the sum to them, and they both ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken honey out of carcass of the lion. All right, give me your interpretation, please. What do you see here? Not observation, please. Skip the observation. Directly to interpretation. Okay, so what would you do if you sin against God? To who? To the priest? Okay, good, good. All right, Mikey.
Even though we know things are...
Good, Romans chapter 5. Excellent. All right. Yes, Rene. Okay, that's observation. Interpretation, please. What does it mean to... What does it mean to Rene? No, not Samson, Renee.
Yeah.
Here, what do you see here? Interpretation. I know this is your first time, but I'm not giving you slack.
No quarter.
So it may seem good on the outside, but I mean, for a time, but it's dead. I mean, we shouldn't take up stuff that, because like I said at the beginning, our lives are set.
Okay. All right. Who else was raising hand? Yes.
So she mentioned the lion, and to me, it was more that God sends us warnings along our path, trying to get us to turn back around towards Him, and just ignore it sometimes.
Good one. Good one. Lion was sent by God as a warning. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good one.
Like you said, though, in the vineyard, I know it's observation part, but at the same time, is when you're walking with God and you walk into sin, and then basically God said, I'll give you strength to conquer this, which was the lion. He conquered it. Didn't tell mom, dad. Went down to see the girl, or when he went back to see the girl, he steps right back into sin because of the lion itself, and then commits sin again by touching the body. So we return to sin instead of taking God's word and God and heeding what God said. We don't repent, turn away.
Let me ask you this, all of you. Same for me. When we are about to sin against God, do you have that gnawing feeling in your heart? Kind of very uncomfortable feeling in your heart? Am I the only one who have that kind of feeling? Or that somebody is tapping my chest, it's like, wake up, you idiot. I know, Holy Spirit doesn't use the word idiot, but he and I close, so he called me idiot. Do you feel that? Then what do we do? Do we back off? Or do we say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. What you going to do? Tell me. We should all the time. Not depends on the situation. It's all the time.
Yeah. Well, I guess you get that feeling. I guess what you're saying.
Yeah. When, let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Here's a warning. For any of us who think we think that we can handle this temptation, therefore, let him who think. Are you there yet? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Here's two verses I want you to memorize. If you haven't, you should. Therefore, let him who think he stand, that means who can handle, take heed, lest he fall. If you don't take heed a device that comes from the Holy Spirit, you will fall. Right? And then here's a verse we know, many of us know well. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, the temptation is too strong that I could not resist. That's a lie from hell. It's a common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, the Lord gives us escape hatch. And some people say, well, I slept with my girlfriend. What were you doing? How many, were there anybody else? No, just me and her. Where? In our house? No wonder. If you know it's going to happen, don't take a chance. And I think I mentioned this. I told one alcoholic guy, if you get tempted, call me, we'll pray. Guess what he does? Yeah, he did. He really did. He got drunk as a skunk and he couldn't even pronounce the word pastor correctly. Pastor. You drunk? He said, just couple. Uh-huh, sure. All right. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Yep. He does, it's like nobody will know. You can quit anytime. Listen. Okay, we see here, Spirit of the Lord mildly came upon Samson. He tore the lion apart as one would tore apart a young goat. How strong do you have to be without any weapon to tear a lion apart? Oh, yeah, it was the Lord who was. It is unreal, isn't it? Just because, listen up, just because we are used by God, that doesn't mean that while we are still in sin. Let me say from the beginning. Just because we are used by God while we are still in sin, that doesn't mean that God is winking at our sins. Are you with me on that? Yeah. All right. When God is not permitted to rule our lives because of our stubborn heart, he overrules and works out his will in spite of our decisions. Of course, we are the losers for the rebelling against him. But God will accomplish his purpose either with us or in spite of us. Samson should have been going to the war instead of going to the wedding. But God used this event to give Samson an occasion to attack an enemy. It appears that Samson left the main road and his parents went to the detour to the vineyard by his own choice. He met a lion. And vineyard was dangerous for the person who is not supposed to drink any wine or any similar drink, right? And did God send the lion as a warning to Samson? Yes. He walked in the wrong, did he walk in the wrong path? Yes. The Holy Spirit gave Samson the power to defeat the lion, but Samson persisted on his path of disobedience into the enemy territory and unlawful wedding. His unlawful wedding. When Samson ate the honey from the lion's carcass, he defiled the dead body, and the part of his Nazarite dedication was destroyed. Though Samson flirted with the compromises, Samson flirted with the compromises with his impending marriage and the vineyard of Timnah, he still had a miraculous strength because the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him. Just because we are used by the Lord while we are in disobedience, we shouldn't think that the Lord is winking at our sins. Make sense? Can I change the slide? Significantly, Samson did these stupid things after he is remarkably filled with the Holy Spirit. This shows that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit does not automatically make us godlier. I've seen people who are speaking in tongue and did stupid things. Just because somebody has got one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that person is that cannot be ungodly. It gives us a resource to be godlier, but it doesn't do it for us. A person can be wonderfully gifted by the Holy Spirit, yet very immature spiritually. Prime example of that is 1 Corinthians church people. Bible tells us that they were gifted people by the Holy Spirit. They were carnal to the core, according to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. Remember that portion when we studied? You are gifted with the Holy Spirit, yet you are, pretty much telling you, a bunch of immature, rotten kids. May I change the slide? Yes? Samson is also a good example of a carnal Christian who has a form of godliness but denying its power, according to 2 Timothy 3:5. Holy Spirit of God wants to come upon us and give us power. Okay. Holy Spirit wants to come upon us and give us power. There are three activities that the Holy Spirit is up toward us. Holy Spirit is in us. Did you hear me that? In us, preposition in, and it only happened to whom? Born again Christians. Not all believers. Not all people. Holy Spirit is with us. Why? Holy Spirit is God who is omnipresent God. That means Holy Spirit is here with us as well as His Holy Spirit is in South America and South Africa and Timbuktu somewhere. He can be everywhere. Holy Spirit is with us. Now, He is Holy Spirit upon us. That means Holy Spirit literally empowered that person, like He did with Samson. Empowered that person to do amazing things, impossible things. Tearing a lion apart. How is that even possible? But He did. Bible does not lie, does it? Three things. Holy Spirit is in us to who? Holy Spirit is in us to all the born-again Christians. Holy Spirit is with us to everyone? Everywhere? Yes. It's not a trick quiz. Holy Spirit is upon us to do what? To empower us. Remember that those three things. Upon us, with us, in us. Am I giving you a headache, John?
That is in my mind.
Okay. Verse 10 of chapter 14, please. So his father went down to the woman. Samson gave the feast there, therefore young men used to do so. And it happened that when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then the Samson told them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you the 30 linen garments and 30 change of clothing. But if you cannot explain to me, you shall give me the 30 linen garments and 30 change of clothing. They said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. Verse 14. So he said to them, out of the eater came the something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass in the seventh day that they said to the Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with the fire. Nice people. And have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him, the woman's most powerful weapon, and said, you only hate me, you do not love me, you have opposed the riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. He said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? This is a bad marriage from the beginning. Now she had wept on him 7 days. Did you guys get that? 7 days while the feast lasted. It happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the man of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? He said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to the Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the change of the clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. Then Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. Okay, interpretation, please. Not observation, please.
I sure hate to call my wife a heifer.
You wouldn't live on very long.
Short lived.
I don't think that was the interpretation. Okay, who else?
He showed that he was deceived and was angry, so...
What does it mean to Kurt?
Yeah. Too many times we don't learn the lessons that have been shown to us. We take it upon ourselves to act the judgment that is not our own.
What? Okay.
Back to the being unequally yoked, his belief in God, her pagan beliefs, the people that she's with, that's all they know is their pagan side. They're threats to her. She has no strength in God whatsoever because she's not a believer. So when they basically threatened her, she didn't give it to God. She took the threat and then turned on her husband.
Okay, what does it mean to Roger?
Be strong in God and listen to his words. Take the problem to God. Don't think you can do it yourself.
Good. Look what he did here. Yes, Mikey.
Well, you know, it goes back to his first disobeying God and marrying this this Philistine, about not marrying a Philistine. One sin led to another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
30 people, he opposed to somebody because he was his wife ran it on. So one sin led to another. Just like we commit a sin, that sin can lead to that. We just have to lay down and say, hey, listen, I give up and stop what we're doing. And that goes downhill before you know it.
Live a lie and have to keep telling more lies to make it sound good at the end. Yeah, you're trying to cover yourself or your sin, so you continue to lie. And so you continue to sin one after the other.
Go to verse 9, please. Verse 9 of chapter 14. He took the some of it in his hand and went along eating. When he came to the father, his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he, what? Did not tell them that he had taken honey from out of the carcass of the lion. He sinned against the Lord.
Yes.
And then we read in verse 10. I'm sorry, not verse 10. Verse 12. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. He doesn't even think about what he did as a sin. Did you notice? And he thinks it's funny. Now he wants to make a riddle.
A game.
Yeah. To him, it's a game. So here's my interpretation. It's bad enough to disobey God. But when we take it lightly and make a joke out of it, we've sunk to the new low of a spiritual insensitivity. Am I making sense? Yes? All right. Sad to say. Yes, Renee?
I would say the good thing his wife left me because...
I'm sorry?
The good thing, I think, in some sense, that his wife left because he shouldn't have been in that kind of relationship to begin with.
It. Yeah. One of those.
She understands when she speaks.
I speak John.
I told her the first time we dated, like, don't take anything literally from me. Understand what I'm thinking.
Sad to say, Samson constructed a riddle out of the experience of his sin. He didn't take it seriously, the fact that he had violated his Nazarite vow. It's bad enough to disobey God, but when we make a joke out of it, we've sunk to the new law of the spiritual insensitivity. Make sense? Can I change the slide? First, Philistine woman enticed him, verse 1. Then she manipulated him and destroyed him in verse 17, which is the typical way the world treats the compromising believers. Devil tempt us, and once we fall into sin, he ridicule us and make fun of us and condemn us. The Lord used this turn of event to motivate the Samson to decide to fight the Philistine instead of entertaining him. If Samson had sought God's leading, the Lord would have directed him. Instead, Samson went his own way. The Lord had to overrule his selfish decision. Would you go to Psalm 32, please? The opposite of that is in Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. I love this verse. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. God speaking. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God speaking to us. I will guide you with my eyes. Do not be like the horse or like a mule, and which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, and else they will not come near you. If you looking by faith into the eyes of the Lord, He can guide us with His eyes. You know, when husband and wife love each other, they've been with each other for a long time. Sometimes they don't even have to say the word to each other, right? Because they know each other's heart. And when we are close to God, we can know His heart. If we try not, if we turn our back on Him, He would treat us like an animal and put the harness on us and to guide us to His way. Samson was either impetuously rushing ahead like a horse or stubbornly holding back like a mule, and God has to deal with him. I hope that none of us would come to that point. Let us be so sensitive to our God that we can be guided by Him with His eyes. Amen? Three applications. Since we are kind of late, I'll do it. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, remember, comes upon us, He empowers us to live for God, bring glory to Him, not to show off the power we received from Him as if it's our own. There is a reason why it said the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift, it means it doesn't belong to us. It was given to us. It's not originated from us. So we cannot brag about gift. Second thing, it's better for us to lose what we think is precious than walk away from the relationship with our God. Third, if we are looking by faith into the face of God, He can guide us with His eyes. But if we turn our back on Him, He has to treat us like animals, put on harness on us and to guide us back to His way, overrule us. That would be a sad situation. Let's be sensitive to Him, be obedient to Him. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.